Winner all of life.
We've been back and forth in the DM all week. You saying that she doing this to me. She know I'm a freak, so fuck it. It's a Friday, girl, you can bring your ass through. I'ma show you what a nigga do. I'ma put you on some new moves.
Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising. Ooh, all cool and subdued. You got that nice vibe. This is the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of one black polyamorous feminist living in New York City and her co-hosts of the day. We've got Paige, who is a conditionally friendly black hottie telling stories and building things. What up, Paige?
Hey.
And we got Belle, who is a Jamaican-born young professional living in Central Jersey who isn't here right now. We have our first invisible coho, our first non-existent coho. Belle's actually running late, but she really wanted to be here.
She really does.
She dead ass wanted to be here. She was like, "I'll pay for everything. I'll take Paige home myself." So she's gonna pop in later in the recording. But if you don't know about this podcast, if you're new, welcome. This is season 2 of the Inner Ho Uprising, the search for a new coho. So every week I'll have somebody different on, and by the end of a certain period of time, you guys can vote on who you want the new coho to be. For new listeners and old listeners, you can follow along to this conversation by using the hashtag Inner Ho Uprising, and you can shout us out on some other hashtags called hashtag tripod and hashtag pod in if you're listening and want to let other people know that you are listening. So we got a couple of segments in this here show. We got Bay of the Week, Ho of the Week, Self-Care Tip of the Week, Fuck That, Fuck It, Fuck Me, and Fuck You. So we're gonna start off with Bay of the Week. Paige, who's your bay?
My bay, Janelle Monae.
My bay, Janelle Monae.
Yes. Just wears black and white so well. She really does.
She does. She's got the looks, honestly, and she can pull off femme and masculine.
Absolutely.
Quite nicely.
And she got nice dance moves, too. She's really
she can
killing
sing.
It.
She can rap too.
She can rap?
She rapped in that song Queen.
Oh, you're right. With Erykah
really
Badu.
Good.
Yeah, I recall.
Yeah.
So, Bay of the Week, Janelle
Monae. Did she do anything recently that was like, ooh, yeah?
Not recently, but I feel like.
Exist.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
That she's done very recently.
Cool. All right. Fuck Belle's Bay of the Week because she's not here. But she did pick Janelle, which I thought was funny. Did you pick Janelle Monae because she picked Janelle? Because
it's
know
like
what? Wonderland.
Because she did choose it first. I was like, wait. And that didn't make me think of Janelle Monae. But then I thought about Janelle and I was like, he looks so good all of the time. So like,
he is also quite a good looking person.
He's so pretty.
Have you seen his video, Bambi?
What?
Okay.
No.
You should check it out. It's quite
I will.
Funny. He's being a fuckboy in it, but in a
so
funny way.
He's still pretty.
Next up, we've got Ho of the Week, which is the part where I shout out all of the fans, a.k.a. the hoes, a.k.a. the homies. Today's hoes of the week are all the people who showed up to Pod in Live NYC, which was an event thrown by the people over at the Tea with Queen and Jay podcast. And there were so many awesome, very good looking black podcasters in the building and very good looking black podcast fans in the building. But I want to do a special shout out to all of my personal homies who like showed up and supported me. So we got Belle, who's not here, but still Ho of the Week. We had Akua, we had Angela, we had Rebecca, another coho who's been on the show. We had Brianna, another coho who's been on the show. We had Danny, Kardeem, another coho has been on the show, and of course Lucas all showed up, and they all like passed around little Inner Ho Uprising condoms and did promotion because I'm socially awkward and I couldn't interact with people, but they did it for me, and for that you guys are hoes of the week. Love you. Then we got Self-Care Tip of the Week. Paige, you wrote some stuff in.
I really did, and it's so great because I'm following it right now. Stay hydrated, my friends.
Yes, Paige is drinking her 2 teaspoons of water.
I have 2 teaspoons of water,
mixing that with wine.
What is it called again?
Oh shit. 2013 Riesling.
Not an official sponsorship, but
right, they better pay me after this.
Yeah, but yeah, stay hydrated. It actually really helps me if I put reminders on my phone like drink, bitch.
Is that what your reminders say?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, how often do you put those reminders, like every
once every 2 hours, I think, is a solid.
So you take one sip of water every
1 teaspoon of water every 2 hours.
Okay.
Keeps
I mean, you're alive. I see you. Your skin is very clear. So that is Paige's Self-Care Tip of the Week. I'll read Belle's. Make sure you're speaking positively about yourself on a regular basis. It's easy to beat ourselves up about things and focus on the negatives. A healthy activity to consider is to write a list of things you love about yourself or things that you've achieved in your life that you're proud of, with a list of things you want to improve on. How do you feel about that?
I feel like if everybody followed that, we would all be happy with a capital H.
Yeah.
What's that?
Capitalism. Am I right? Da-da-ding! Yeah. Next up is Pay a Bitch. If you guys would like to sustain the Inner Ho Uprising podcast, you can visit innerhouprising.com and click on the tab on every page that says Pay a Bitch. Oh, shit. Every page. Everything's cool today.
Everything's real cool.
Everything's too cool, almost. Yeah. The fuck is going to happen to the universe? It's going to implode. Yeah, you can do that, or you can go on the merchandise tab and buy a cool hoodie or a cool shirt that says Inner Ho Uprising on it for the low price of $18. Come on, son. All right, let's start up.
Fuck that.
Oh, yeah. Current events topics of the week.
I like to walk around smelling dicky. You know, smelling of dick. Getting a lot of dick is what you should shout to the damn hills. That's what you should be celebrating. That's what you should be bragging about. That's what you should be ready to just waiting for somebody to ask you if you got some dick so you can, yeah, yes, I did, actually. I got two.
We will start off with the hashtag ATL orgy.
ATL orgy.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I just...
But it deserved that.
It really did.
Yes. What do you know about the ATL orgy?
What I know about the ATL orgy, okay, well, there is a phenomenal woman.
Yes.
And who is on Black Twitter, which we all know is infamous.
Mm-hmm.
And ATL, also known as Atlanta.
Just in case you guys didn't know what ATL was.
You know what? Some people might be out there like, why don't they say what the acronym is?
Like they're just furiously Googling ATL. What is this?
What is hashtag ATL? So she has a great Twitter and a great Instagram account where she is celebrating her birth mm-hmm. on a day mm-hmm. with an orgy yeah. in ATL.
Yeah, we can talk more about that. So this is Sydney's 27th birthday swalsh. Sydney is a phone sex operator and swinger, and apparently... I think a swash is a swinger's bash.
Swash?
Yeah, but they've called it a swalsh. I don't know why they put that extra L like, in there. Maybe like for lit.
Ooh.
I'm not sure.
Lovely.
Yes. But so she threw this. And, you know, swingers events kind of just happen. They're just things that happen. But I guess maybe it's because it was for her birthday. I don't know what she did, but her swalsh went viral. In a way that most swinger events don't go viral. So a little bit about the event. It's an adult sleepover in Atlanta from March 18th to March 19th. It's sold out, so unfortunately you can't go.
Darn.
It's in the future. And I think the tagline for it is great vibes, good ratchet music, amazing food, and swangin' balls.
You know, this sounds lit. That's L is for lit.
It's the swangin' balls that really got me. I was like, do I have to fly out
with
to Atlanta?
With an exclamation point.
Swangin' balls! So, yeah, you bring your own sleeping bags, secret location, no cameras, as most swingers events usually do. It's $99 for single ladies, and for single men and couples, it's $175. And the whole layout of the night would be a pre-party with future and twerking, some dinner, then straight into swinging balls, which I don't know how I feel about that, because, like, what if there's garlic knots up
my
in there for dinner?
My favorite part of the announcement is definitely bring your own PJs and sleeping bags.
Yeah, that's
like,
fun.
You know, I feel like it's also, like, very considerate to put in the announcement, because, like, I would be pissed if I showed up, like, yo, I'm tired as fuck.
Here's the floor. You sleep there. But I feel like it's the kind of occasion where will anybody sleep? Or will it be swinging balls?
I got to bed at like
10
p.m. So like even if I am swinging like around 3 a.m., I'm like, yo.
I'm bowing out of this. You guys have fun.
I was definitely the kid at the sleepover that people wrote things on their face.
Like, oh, no.
That wasn't me.
I didn't know kids did that. I thought that was like a post-college thing.
I don't know. But like I grew up in Texas and I guess okay. They just real mean there.
I'm so like, sorry. What happened to Southern hospitality?
That's a lie.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, like that's where... Slavery was the worst, so
I mean, like,
did Southern hospitality ever exist? Jim Crow, is that Southern hospitality?
I don't think that's funny. I don't know.
No, here at the Inner Hall Uprising, we make fun of dark things. After the swinging balls, you got sleep, breakfast, and a recap, which is fun. Remember the time you ate my ass last night?
I don't know what a recap would be.
Remember the time you ate my ass last
Fair.
Night?
Absolutely.
It's all inclusive.
I would need the recap. I'd be asleep.
Who ate whose ass while I was sleeping?
Ooh, yeah.
What happened post 3 a.m.? It's all inclusive, so you get two meals, snacks, sex toys, alcohol, and condoms. They said that they would have security guards, but then there was a really weird disclaimer that said, we are not liable for anything happening to you of a negative nature. This includes anything from food allergens to drunk driving. You are 100% responsible for what happens to you during and after this party. We assume no responsibility whatsoever.
You know what? I think it's the fact that they said you are 100% responsible for what happens to you during this after party. During and after this party, mm-hmm. instead of just like skipping to the we assume no responsibility, like if you just said we aren't, that's not us, I would have been like, okay, I get it. They don't want to be liable or sued. But like mm-hmm. saying like it's all your, like, I don't know. That feels a little iffy for me.
It was very rape culture-y. Very much. I think so. That's just a weird really thing rapey. To say at a swingers party.
Absolutely.
Like if somebody gets raped at your swingers party, you should be held liable for that.
Absolutely.
And then in the invitation for it, they did say like we'll have security guards on staff. They said that multiple times, but at no point did they say that the security guards will keep you safe in regards to the sex that you're having.
Oh yeah.
So
we need asterisks on these.
Yeah, exactly. These especially flyers. Because, you know, rape is a thing that happens. Absolutely. And rape culture is a thing that's very prominent.
Also, there are different people who have different ideas about consent and what that actually means. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And unless there's like an informational video before you walk into the exactly. space, so that everyone on the same page, like it's really important information for everyone to know.
Exactly. Especially something that's having an open invite as opposed to other swingers parties that are thrown through swinger communities mm-hmm. where it's like you have to watch and read this stuff that we talk about consent. And you have to take an STD test before going to this. It's kind of an open invite kind of thing. So that's kind of putting people at risk in a way that I didn't quite like. But I don't think that was their intention.
Probably not. Honestly, I don't think they intended for it to get this
they
big.
Definitely. The first set of invites that were sent out, like the first amount of RSVPs was 35 people.
Yeah.
And then this went viral. Like it was trending on Twitter to millions of people.
When I looked at it on Twitter, like they had an actual video, and people don't actually look on videos in social media. It's mostly just like retweet. Mm-hmm. But I think there were over 50,000 people who had looked at the actual video.
Yeah.
When
by
I
the
was
time that you had
it.
Seen it?
Yeah.
Wow. I saw it when it was like 46 people. So this is still going viral as we speak.
Still happening.
Yeah.
It's growing.
Yeah. So people had two sets of responses on Black Twitter because it did go viral on Black Twitter. So you had your people who were just like, ew, that's disgusting. Raw sex. Oh, no. You're going to get an STD. And like really weird, mean STD jokes and memes, which I don't personally like because I don't think it's good to stigmatize people with STDs and STIs Fair. Or even stigmatize the diseases themselves. And then there were people who bought up legitimate points like, you know, the liability thing is quite odd and opening this up to so many people is kind of odd because you don't know. Like if there's fuckboys who are going to make fun of people getting STDs on Twitter who are talking about this, then there's fuckboys
who have access to this party.
Exactly.
Who are going to find
come,
the way.
Exactly. Yeah. And who don't know about consent because... I mean, there's like smart Black Twitter and then there's fuckboy Black Twitter
as
and
there
hotep
were,
Black
was-
Twitter. And those are not the kind of people I want at the ATL orgy.
I mean, she was very, very consistent about calling lots of Black Twitter stupid. So mm-hmm. she definitely knows how she feels about Black Twitter.
Yeah. How do you feel about Black Twitter?
You know what? I have a loving relationship with Black Twitter. Like mm-hmm. in the same relationship, like in the same sense of like close family members where it's like, I know you because you made me. But you're on some fuck shit sometimes.
Gotcha. Yeah,
but
like
I
that one uncle who always says that dumb shit, but it's like, okay, and my brother's
it's like, dead. I also kind of understand where you're coming from, but it's just wrong.
Yeah.
And you're missing some key facts.
Yeah.
Major keys.
Yeah, major key alerts.
Yeah.
You don't got them.
Yeah,
you don't
yeah.
have the alerts on your phone.
But you hilarious.
Yes, that is one thing that's consistent about Black Twitter in general.
Absolutely.
Creativity and hilariousness.
True.
Yes. But yeah, so how do you feel about the whole swinger scene in general?
Swinger scene, never been a part of the swinger scene, mm-hmm. But I also feel like I've been having a lot of conversations just about polyamory, which I know swinging and polyamory are like not actually the same thing.
Tangentially related.
Exactly. I feel mm-hmm. like they are cousins. I'm not really in the swinger scene, but I would be interested in learning more about it because I think it's very... interesting, like this idea of like sexuality, not as in like who you're attracted to, but sexuality as in like being capable of being attracted to people in general,
mm-hmm.
Like actually having like open dialogues about what that actually means and how it interacts with your life, I think that's really healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if people are like swingers who aren't very sexually active,
yeah,
just like being open to like understanding what sex means to you in your life, I think is dope.
I think that's totally cool too. And that's why I'm kind of happy that this happened, because I don't like the fact that Black Twitter or certain parts of Black Twitter were bullying these people, or making the weird STD jokes and stuff like that. But I think an open conversation on swinging is cool, and people who didn't care or know about swinging were like, oh, a party where I can, you know, safely fuck a lot of people. That sounds interesting to me. I will then Google this. I won't fly out to ATL for the ATL orgy, but I'll look into it.
I will also Google ATL.
Where is Atlanta? Is that a show? What is that?
It's also great. That's a great show.
That is a really good show.
You have not watched it. Please watch. Please.
Yeah.
But I also love that this is coming from a Black woman. Like,
definitely. Speak on it.
Like, yeah, talking about sexuality from people who are predominantly sexualized externally, like a woman claiming her sexuality and not just claiming it and being like, I'm a sexual person, but being like, yo, I'm starting this dope party for my birthday to celebrate my being. And it's not just sexuality objectively. It's like also like it's an open conversation. Mm-hmm. And she put it on social media for other people to comment. And like that takes a lot of bravery. And I'm here for that. I'm here for like sexual Black women.
Me too. Like loud sexual Black women. And she is quite loud. There was another video where she was like, don't you just like the feeling of smelling dicky when you get that dick all up in ya? Dick, 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 dick. Which is something that I say on this podcast a lot.
Dick, 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 dick.
Yes. So I related to Sydney on that.
You should tweet at her and be like, I relate to you.
We vibe on that dick, 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 dick level, Sydney. But yeah, she's also a phone sex operator. So if you ever want to employ a Black woman,
do it. She has the rates on her Instagram.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
They're like different levels of like how much she interacts. And like,
sweet.
There's like a different, like it goes up 99 cents or something. Like if you like, if she doesn't see you versus if she sees you, and like if it's just the phone, and if you want her to be like passive, it's a certain amount. It's like she really broke it down for you.
As she should. That's her profession.
Absolutely.
I am fucking here for it.
Here for sexual Black women always.
This is not a new issue for Uber. This issue has come up quite a bit for this company.
Well, you know, the issue of sort of whether it's a misogynistic bro-y culture has certainly dogged Uber for a while. You know, Travis's own comments haven't helped the company. He called the company boober at one point.
Rampant sexual harassment in Silicon Valley. And that's something that's always existed, but it's got a little buzz as of late.
Buzz.
Thank you for that sound effect.
You're welcome.
Really needed that. So I think that this all began, or recently, these instances of sexual assault in Silicon Valley and just tech in general, or the STEM field, started with a woman named Susan Fowler writing a blog post about something that happened to her during her time at Uber. So she was a site reliability engineer, which I don't know what that means.
I don't actually know what it means either. Okay. And it's hilarious because I was in STEM for like a solid 2 years of my undergrad. And then I was like, oh, no.
Well, maybe that's why you dropped out.
But yeah, because I didn't know it. What is it? A site reliability engineer? I didn't know what that was. And they're like,
this shit goes deep.
You're not going to make it.
She was saying a lot of stuff where I was like, huh, is that it? So she started working at Uber in November of 2015, and off the bat, it was sexist. It was already terrible. Her first day, her manager told her over a work chat, that he was in an open relationship and looking for women to fuck at work. Yeah, right, exactly. At least on my first day, man.
Like, first
give me
day,
a little moment for the sexual harassment to begin.
Like, seep in slowly. Like, sexual it's harassment like, light. Like, why?
It's like, here it is. This is what you should expect from Uber. I'm just letting you know. I'm honest, okay? So she took screenshots and sent report it to HR, because that's what you should do when someone sexually harasses
you.
HR gave him a warning because he was a high performer and could have made a mistake. I don't know how you make that mistake. Like, whoops, fell into sexting someone who didn't consent to that.
It's like, you just
who
like
works for me.
Literally fell. I fell onto my phone. Yeah,
exactly. I kept falling into my phone, and like autocorrect just made these words happen. I don't
Siri's
know.
Siri's a bastard.
Yeah, so they told her that, and then they gave her an ultimatum, basically saying she had to either go to a new team or face the fact that he would give her a poor performance review. So nothing for him and everything for her. And she chose to go to a new team because that's some fuck shit and she didn't want a poor performance review. So she joins a new team, does great stuff, meets other women engineers, and learns that not only do they have the same experiences with other managers in the place, but several women have had the same experience with that one specific guy. So HR was lying.
It was not a mistake.
It was not a mistake, and it wasn't the first time. So, you know, he's had several other warnings in the past, and clearly HR just doesn't give a fuck. Yeah, that's... That is the definitive answer. No. So apparently Uber is, so she goes to another team or whatever. She's living her life and she learns that not only is Uber a sexist environment for women, but it kind of just sucks in general. And they had this weird, like, managers having beef type thing.
Yeah.
And managers would try to get other managers fired in different organizations and stuff like that.
But on top of being sexist, they also prided themselves on having women on their team. And so that was a huge reason that she couldn't get transferred.
Exactly.
She was like, my performance reviews are lit. Like, I'm trying to move forward with my life. Can you let me do that? And they're I don't know. Like, we disagree thoroughly. And she's like, but, like, the receipts, though.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like,
Exactly.
No, and they found out that the reason she couldn't get transferred was because one of her supervisors was bragging out to everyone.
I got a woman. I got lady folk on the team.
I got a woman.
A woo-man, as the Hoteps like to say. Yeah, so she was going through all this bullshit where it was, like, chaotic, and the chaotic nature of her specific team made her want to transfer to another team. And then she tried, and she realized she couldn't because woo-man's on her team. And she was like, well, that fucking sucks.
She was in grad school, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And, like, Uber was, like, sponsoring her grad school, but it was based off of her performance reviews.
Yes.
And she kept complaining about all the situations, as she should, because this is horrible.
Yeah.
And so they decided to take it out on her via a performance review, and then that affected her grad school. She was at Stanford, I believe.
Yeah, she was trying
to do... it's a really cheap institution.
She was trying to do a full scholarship through Uber to Stanford for computer science, and because of that performance review... She couldn't transfer within the company. It was just all, like, this is actually, like, the barriers to moving up in the STEM industry as a woman. So this whole time she was kind of just stuck, but I don't know why she was staying at Uber. I think she, like, really enjoyed the work that she was doing.
Yeah, she said that she was surrounded by these incredible technicians and these incredible thinkers who were solving problems, like, even amongst all the fuckery going on at Uber.
Yeah.
And she was like, but I'm inspired here, so, like, I'll make it work.
Yeah, she kept trudging forward, but this whole time she was just documenting her instances of sexual harassment and gender discrimination to HR, and HR was like, oh, okay, every single time.
While she's doing computer science.
Right, exactly. While she was also writing a book that went on to become a New York Times bestseller and talking at several conferences, and one of her performance reviews was like, we don't see any forward trajectory in your career.
Yeah, like, potential for
you. Bitch, I just wrote a book. The fuck?
Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So, she's writing all these instances of sexual harassment. HR is kind of just ignoring it, but she's doing it to report it and to keep, like, a trail going. And then one instance, I think her team was like, yeah, we'll buy everybody leather jackets. And then
there'll be, like, grease in here.
All this time, because of the sexual harassment and stuff like that, women were also just leaving Uber. So on her team, there were only about 3 women. So they were like, LOL, never mind. We'll buy these leather jackets for these 100 men. But because you're 3 women, we don't really see the point in you guys having leather jackets. And she's like, the fuck? It's 3 leather jackets. This is Uber. You guys can afford 3 leather jackets. And they're like, no, actually, we feel like you guys are being selfish because we can't order your thing in bulk and 3 is a little bit too much. So she writes that to HR and HR is like, no, that's the last straw. You're a bitch. Just like, okay.
Ooh, they use the word.
So she's called into HR because of what she's saying about other people, as opposed to these guys being called into HR for their
complaining a lot.
Exactly.
I'm gonna need you to calm down.
So they're like, so how often do you women talk, and what do you talk about? And she's like, I'm not letting you know that because that's an invasion of privacy. And then she's like, you know, this is weird here. Well, she says because she says that there's only three women here because it's a violent environment for women. It's not a comfortable environment for women. And then HR is like, well, actually, it's probably not a good environment for women because women shouldn't really be in STEM.
That's the one. It's that one.
Exactly. Like, what? I think they were like, there's certain ethnicities and genders that shouldn't be in the technology field. So it's like, okay, you hate black people and women.
Get it.
And people of color and women.
Cool, cool. Nice to know that's where we're at. Thanks for making it clear.
So then HR, or I guess someone lets her manager know that she said this to HR. And then her manager's like, bro, why did you report my fucking manager?
I love the bro comma you put in the beginning of that. Bro. And then you changed your voice a little bit to match the aesthetic. I think it was fun. It was great.
And then she's like, yeah, because your manager's being a dickhead, son. And then he's like, no, he's not being a dickhead. And also, because you reported my manager, you know, the next time you do that, you can be fired. And she's like, that's illegal. And then he's like, no, totally not illegal. I know this. I've been in this field for mad long. It's not illegal. And she's like, it is, in fact,
it's like, I have read a word.
Okay. It's not illegal. So then she tells HR about it. And she's like, guys, this is illegal. And they're like, no, yeah, it's totally illegal. Didn't do anything to the guy. No consequences or anything like that.
It's been a great year.
So that was the last straw. And then she was like, yeah, I'm dipping the fuck out of Uber. And then within a week, she had another.
Fantastic job.
Yeah, because exactly.
Of that incredible she's trajectory. So good.
Yeah, exactly.
That she clearly
she's actually
had.
Quite a good person.
And
or
then
quite
she wrote
a good engineer.
This full blog post. I didn't feel any disdain. It was just like, this happened, ABCDEFG.
Her whole thing about it was like, this was an absurd year. Yeah. Like, this was hilariously ridiculous. If I wasn't so sad about how it went down, I would laugh about it. This could be a Judd Apatow film, goddammit. This could be an episode of Seinfeld. But
really, really long episode of Seinfeld.
It would be quite a long episode. A very special Seinfeld special.
Special.
Gotta use special twice. But yeah, so that was like her experience at Uber. And then after that, a whole bunch of people started to come out about their experiences in the tech field. And it's kind of like, man, tech sucks, which I already knew. But I mean, yeah. You know a little bit more about that than I do.
I mean, like, it's weird because I mean, I went to school for anthropology, but before that I was in chemical engineering.
Mm-hmm. You sound like Jadakiss when you do that.
True. No, like, it's like 100%. I think the reason that I quit was because I didn't have enough support. Like, I would walk into rooms and every single TA and every single professor I had was a white man unconditionally.
Yeah.
And when I was struggling in class, I'd be like, you know, I'm just dumb, clearly, because everyone else is doing a great job and everyone else is working, like, and they don't need help. And I clearly need all of this help. And mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, well, this isn't for me. But, like, in retrospect, I realized, no, like, engineering is fucking difficult.
Yeah.
Like, it's yeah. really hard. It's fine.
It's like chemical engineering. Like, that's one of the things people say. It's not rocket science. It's not chemical engineering.
But it is rocket science. Yeah, exactly. It's literally rocket science. No, it's cool. I mean, I still work in tech now. Like, I work in film and still the same thing. Like, I don't see people
Boys
who look
Club.
Like me
yeah.
all the time. Like, I remember I was freelancing. I was doing camera operating for this, like, I don't even know what it is. Like, they do, like, workplace training videos. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's exactly, it's as awful as it sounds.
So fun.
And I was in a room with three other technicians who were all white men and an actress who was a white woman, and it was me, and I was like running the prompter or whatever, and these men were talking to her like she was like a doll and not a human being.
Oh, that's nice.
And she looked really uncomfortable, and I was like, emotional labor. And I was like, what do you do when you're not here? And I'm just like, this is not what I went to school for. This
yeah.
is not what I have my technical training for to like make you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But and like, I have to.
This is why we should really get paid like $150 on the man's dollar as
True.
Opposed to $70 on the man's dollar.
True.
It's not just equal, but like, we really do have to put in more work. Mm-hmm. And then there's like, what's that thing? Imposter syndrome that you can feel?
Oh.
Speak on it.
Real as fuck. So like, having a go-to allegory is the word I'm looking for, right?
I don't know.
Illusion with an A. That one's definitely
I think
accurate.
That's
a go-to illusion when it comes to imposter syndrome. Like, it was like I was finishing undergrad and I just got a fellowship to do a documentary series in London, and I worked really hard in this application and I got it, and I was like, lit. And the whole time when I was like mulling over this, I was really stressed out because like, fuck, now I got it. Now I have to do it. I can't do it. I'm not qualified for this. And I ended up turning down the fellowship.
Oh my gosh.
And then I didn't go to London. And I was like, all of this pressure and stress went away. And then I told my mom what I was doing. She's like, what the fuck was that? And I'm like, yeah. That was insecurity and self-doubt. And
yeah, that is the perfect
that's what that was.
Syndrome, because there's a white man out there who's like, I've never made a film, but I'll give this a fucking try. I mean, come on.
Yeah, and it's
and
like,
he's in London right now, Paige.
London right now. And it's like so crazy because like at the time, I had just finished like directing and producing my own web series about underground female musicians in Barcelona. And I was like, I don't think I can do, nigga. No, it's fine. I have feelings about it. I've moved forward. I've grown.
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah. No, I believe you.
But I just felt a lot of things right now, but it's fine. We'll move forward.
No, that's hard. But you have tons of stuff going for you. And come on, it's a long life ahead.
Yeah. Also, like, everything works out.
Yeah. Sometimes the white cis hetero patriarchy gets you down.
Really?
And
does.
That's, you're allowed. You're totally allowed.
Thank you.
A little bit of stats on STEM and how that can like affect women. So STEM is the fastest growing industry, but the supply of STEM students failed to meet the industry's needs in both the US and Europe. In the US, 45% of girl students are proficient in STEM compared to 43% of boy students. So it's like, oh, we have an edge over men, but it's really quite equal, which makes sense because a human brain is a human brain. So some people will be good at math.
Equality versus equity.
Yeah. One UK study shows that 70% of women and girls would feel more comfortable entering STEM if they knew women and men were employed equally, which makes sense. Like, why am I going to enter this field where I know I'm not going to get a job just because of who I am? And then we've got 48 to 60% of girls reject the notion that they'll never be as good in STEM as boys. So it's like, women kind of don't feel bad entering the field. So obviously something that happens between schooling and in the field is like, this is actually not the career field for me. And then that's shown by this statistic, 40% of women with a degree in tech or who are getting a degree in tech drop out of the field or never even enter it. Some of the things that they cite is lack of job satisfaction. Satisfaction.
What? I like it.
Is that
roll
the
with
word?
It. Roll with it.
Okay.
With it.
Lack of female role models, workplace discrimination, male-dominated culture, and glass ceiling issues. Then we got 60% of women in Silicon Valley experience sexual harassment, and 60% are unsatisfied with the resolution offered by the company.
These are just documented statistics, by the way.
Yeah, and people just like, what? Women aren't good at math, lol. You shouldn't be here, honey. This is a weird field for
sweetheart,
you.
Sweetheart, let me grab your ass.
Yeah, the way you think isn't logical, but it's like...
Am I allowed to curse on here? Because I feel like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's called the Inner Ho Uprising.
Okay.
Ho is kind of a curse.
But it's spelled Ho, like...
Is that Bell?
Dun, dun.
Oh, that is Belle. How the hell did you do that?
I was trying to get in for like the past 10 minutes.
Oh, why didn't you just call me? Oh, you said I'm outside.
Yeah, like outside the store right here.
Oh. Sorry, Belle. This is the first time we ever had somebody like walk in. But yeah, we introduced you earlier, so it's all good.
Nice.
And we read your self-care tip of the week. Thank you very much.
Awesome.
And now we're talking about women in STEM. And I don't know, you actually work in STEM. So Paige studied in STEM and was like, nah, this is weird. Fuck this. And Belle went through with it. How's that been?
It's been mostly good. I have had instances of different types of sexual harassment, mostly from my last boss, where at one point he tried to adjust my clothes or tell me that I don't look professional enough, even though we worked in a factory and everyone wore like dirty t-shirts and things like that. And
what kinds of stuff were you wearing?
I wore like a polo and slacks, like pretty professional.
That makes no sense. It's not like you were arriving in a bathing suit or anything. Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. And I mean, with my issue with STEM has been this diversity hire, the idea of a diversity hire, and it really sets you up to fail because people who you might be in charge of, they think that you're not qualified and they just hired you because you're black. And it's so frustrating to me because, you know, I did all the things I'm supposed to do, did the internships and everything to be where I am, and to not get that respect, it's like, what the hell is my life even, you know? Mm-hmm. Along with that, you have a certain level of ageism to that too.
How old are you?
I'm 23.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had supervisory positions And my position right now is right below a director, where I'm not in charge of people, but that would be a managerial position. And people, it's like you have to just go the extra mile to try to prove yourself. People think they can talk to you as if they're your parents. So that's been my experience. But my job right now, I haven't had any of that. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy with it.
What are you doing now?
Right now, so I'm a technical operations lead. So for the operations department, I basically make sure that we have everything we need for the next batch or the next run, and all our equipment's up to par, basically.
So when you were at your old job and people were harassing you left and right, did you feel like it was coming from men, from everybody, from, like, how is it being also a black woman in that case? Were you getting it from white people?
So the thing with my, I can't really answer that because I was like one of the three or four women working in that department.
Gotcha.
So it was really like, obviously it's coming from men because there's majority men.
So we just talked about some statistics where it's like women perform, or girls perform, just as equal to men in STEM, and kind of go into the field, and then they face all of this stuff. But in that same study that said that 45% of girls are proficient in STEM and 43% of boys are proficient in STEM, there was also a statistic that people ignored that was like, well, only 18% of black people are proficient in STEM, and poor people are less likely to be proficient in STEM. So when you guys were growing up, having gone on to dabble in chemical engineering and then fully become a chemical engineer, what kinds of like messages were you guys receiving as black little girls in regards to like math and science?
Yeah, so in my experience, it was all negative, apart from my parents, who always pushed me to just do as the best I can.
Shout out to them.
Yeah, exactly. the from the black community, it's kind of like, you can't do it. It's not for black people. It's not for women. And you're going to drop out like I used to do it. And then I realized it's really not for me, and it's not for women. And so it's like, between the age, the race, and the sex, it's like, oh, you can't do it. That was the message that was being constantly fed to me. And I'm so happy that I was involved in those kind of programs, like National Society of Black Engineers, Collegiate STEP, similar to High School STEP.
Mm-hmm. What is STEP? What does that stand for?
Oh, Science Technology Entry Program.
Mm-hmm. Who introduced you to that in high school and college?
In high school, I wasn't really active. I had friends who were in STEP, and it just worked out that I didn't participate. And then in college, it was through my scholarship program that I got involved with C-STEP.
Okay.
Right. So
if you feel like if you weren't lucky enough to be introduced to those two things, then you might have.
If I wasn't, then it was just like I would have no positivity. Mm-hmm. Anyone, no one like saying, look, you need to continue doing this. You need to push through it. I know it's hard or whatever. And that outside of those programs, I didn't have that. You know, I had my mom, who, she, of course, she's always going to be encouraging me. But, you know, just there's no common ground of nobody saying you can do it.
Mm-hmm. That's what Paige was saying earlier.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up like same, like my parents, my tribe, my family always being like, you are the real MVP always. Mm-hmm. And that I'm eternally grateful for. But you step outside of like my familial group, and it wasn't necessarily that people were actually looking at me and saying you can't do this. It was more so there was no one telling me that I could.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there are people telling other people that they could, and so I assumed by default that I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're like 14, 15, you're like looking for external validation everywhere you go, and so when you're not getting it, you're like, okay, that's not for me, which is really sad, but it's just like human nature. Oh, there's more. Oh shit
Bought out another bottle of wine, sorry to interrupt you. Keep going.
But yeah, that's, yeah, there's, if you don't have that, well, if I didn't have that external validation going my way. And I mean, it worked out, because I mean, I still do work in tech. Okay. I switched it up. I'm in filmmaking now. But I do think that self motivation didn't come until much later, until I was maybe 17. And then I was realized like, oh, like I'm the one who has agency over my decisions and my capabilities, not this global vision.
Thankfully that you actually like did learn that, because I mean, being a 17-year-old, it's fucking hard. Some people don't have that within them to, you know, do that self-validation.
True.
So And then one more thing on this. So, Belle, when you were at your last job, mm-hmm. I know that you were considering going to the Air Force yeah. to drone strike little children. Mm-hmm. I'm just kidding. but did you consider, like, were you considering doing that career switch because you were kind of sick of right. chemical engineering?
I was kind of sick of the ill treatment. I feel like at my last job, they fed me this idea of how my development, my professional development was going to go. And when I got there, it was kind of like, well, you know what? You're not good enough. You're not doing the things you're supposed to do. And I think that came from more of a place of ageism rather than sexism mm-hmm. or racism, because, you know, it's a really big company and they just abuse people that come from college, pay them much less than, you know, counterparts that are doing less work. Mm-hmm. And it's just a constant push for more work from you, more and more. And, you know, they're not giving anything back, not giving you the training that you deserve, that you have to get to develop and perform. And it was just like this cycle of, you're really not going to get anywhere with this. So
that's why I feel like capitalism is so stupid, because, you know, you're benefiting off
the one reason capitalism is stupid.
Just one of the reasons. But you feel like you are benefiting off of the backs of these people. You should at least treat the people right, so they'll want to contribute to the capitalist society in the first place. But
yeah,
I agree.
Kind of all falls through.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. this ageism situation. Like, yeah, you've got the race, gender, sexuality thing mm-hmm. being the fuckery for you in your life trajectory. But also, like, I've been in many situations where I do freelance editing work as well. So, like, a lot of times people have never seen my face. Mm-hmm. So they just hear my voice and they're like, oh, it's a leprechaun. But, like, they don't actually know. They don't actually know how old I am. And so, like, they treat me with much more respect. Mm-hmm. They actually get paid more. Like, regularly, I've been paid more with wow. situations where people have not known who I am or, like, who I, like, what I look like. Like, they take my negotiations more seriously. And then I've gone into spaces where people, like, meet me for the first time. And that could be, like, those inherent, like, mannerisms that you change because you've been socialized as a woman in a space, like, mm-hmm. where you kind of make yourself smaller or whatever. But, like, I get paid less. Like, people treat me like a kid. And I'm just like, I've been doing this, like, in a much larger capacity. This is just, like, freelance work that I need because I had to pay rent this month. Yeah. Like, I'm much better than this.
Doesn't that suck when you're just like, I'm better than you and I know it?
Yeah, that's definitely happened to me at least twice, where it's like, in my internships, they have other interns, male interns, who are getting these big projects who've never worked in their life. And they're like, okay, you fax these things or make these copies or something like that. Yeah. They're over here making, like, serious moves, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just super frustrating.
It is. And it's dumb because the people who know more are obviously going to contribute to the company better. But mm-hmm. here we are. Holding the good woman down.
Woman.
All right. You guys have anything else to say about STEM and tech? If not, we can move on.
Science and technology are really cool. So to all the ladies and femmes out there, like, don't be discouraged by the fuck shit we're talking about. Like, it's really awesome. You get to build stuff and make stuff. Just don't listen to haters.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to look out for programs like what I did mention, National Society of Black Engineers, Collegiate Science Technology Entry Program. There's always these amazing mentors that are willing to tell you and, you know, hook you up with people who want to be, who are in the position that you want to be. So never think that you're alone. You're definitely not. There's other Black women or Black men or people that look like you that are doing it. So never doubt that. And never doubt that you're good enough.
And if you see those people out there who are doing the work that you want to do, don't hesitate to contact them, because most people, if you send them an email being like, I love what you're doing, I want to do what you want to do, how do you do it? They will meet you for coffee. Definitely. If you just ask.
Yeah, dead ass. Can people meet you guys for coffee?
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, find me. Paige Polk. PaigePolk.com.
I'll probably be late.
That will probably be late. That will be an hour late.
But, you know, it'll happen and I'll be so happy to meet you. Don't worry about it.
Okay, all right, you guys ready to move on to the topic of the day?
Yeah, let's do
okay.
it.
Okay. Fuck it! The topic of the day, and today's topic of the day is intergenerational loving. Mm-hmm. You guys should define that for us.
Okay, well, how I was defining intergenerational loving is, love is mm-hmm. literally, intergenerational loving. Literally someone who's 20, 30 years older than you, i.e. someone that's not in your generation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, loving that person.
Yeah. So. How about you, Paige?
I would say yeah to the actual generation. Like, you know, we take like phonetics and like, oh yeah, intergenerational. But I think it's also more so about where people are in their life and what their goals are and where they're trying to be. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone who maybe is still trying to figure out what their career is, and like they don't even know if they want kids, and you have someone who's like high level and has like more, like I guess a different manifestation of power, who already has other responsibilities they have to take care of outside of that romantic relationship, mm-hmm. and they're in a relationship together, I would say that's intergenerational.
Okay. So do you guys have experience with intergenerational love?
I do.
Speak on it.
Speak on it.
Preach.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it was love. Okay. Like not in the bell hooks way, because it definitely was not. But I definitely was in a quasi-relationship with a person who was significantly older than I was. Let me think of that age gap. I was 21. She was 36.
Mm-hmm.
And she had two children who were half my age, and that was stressful for more reasons than one. Because, like, one, she's in charge of whole human beings and making sure that they're fed and, like, moral human
she's
beings.
She's crazy.
Right? Yeah. But, like, also, like, just, like, I was really young. I mean, I'm still young, but, like, in that sense of, like, having a sustainable, like, loving relationship with another human, like, I did not understand her priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And she could explain it to me however she wanted to, but I would just like, but like, I need you right now. And she's like, I have children. I'm like, but I need you. She's like, but I have children. And I would just like, you're not hearing me. And she's like, you're not hearing me. And so that was really frustrating for me, yeah. simply because I just did not understand.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of going through the same thing right now with my current boyfriend, where he has two kids. One of them is actually 4 years younger than me, so that was so awkward at first.
That's trippy.
So awkward. But it's kind of a thing where he doesn't live with him, and he doesn't he's in the army and he's overseas, so I don't really see him or interact with him too much. So it's really not bothering me right now. And he has a younger son, he's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a lot of time with him, and I like him a lot. But the issue comes where, you know, at this age, I feel like I do have a level of selfishness, which I'm kind of entitled to.
I mean, I agree with that.
Like, yeah. I want to have that, you know, that attention from my loved one that's, you know, a little bit less distracted. Not saying that he shouldn't, you know, care for his son, obviously, but it's kind of like a lot of the times I end up feeling like I'm the afterthought, and I have to just put on my big girl pants and know that, you know, he doesn't mean it that way. It's just that as a parent, you have your priority with mm-hmm. your kids number one, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing, guys. Do you personally feel like you have an attraction towards older people?
Nah.
Okay. That's interesting to me, because I feel like you've only dated older guys.
It's crazy, right? I would say my most successful relationships have been with older people, because I'm really like, if you're honest, Sam,
you're an old
like,
soul.
I'm an old lady in a 23-year-old body, okay? And I can't deal with the shit with people my age. Like, it's usually 80% bullshit. So I can't really.
Damn. You know, as a 25-year-old, I'm offended. Personally attacked.
Well, yeah, but. So that's what usually works out for me.
Okay. How about you, Paige?
I wouldn't say so right now, but I would definitely say growing up, when I was becoming more like romantically inclined and even like sexually inclined human mm-hmm. being, I was attracted to people who were much older than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time it was like, I'm just really mature. Like, they just like, people my age just don't understand me. They don't understand my needs or like what I want. I just like, ugh, I just need someone older so they get me. And like, that's where I was at then. But in hindsight, I can look at that and be like, yo, I was just really needing some attention. And like, I don't think that's 100% the case with everyone who's attracted to older people. I think that there are great intergenerational relationships that work and that are so like bell hooks love. But in my
explain
case,
bell hooks love, because you said it twice.
Love. I said it twice. Bell hooks love is when you're loving someone and it's based off mutual respect, like care, like conscious thought about the needs of the other person, and prioritizing your health and well-being the entire time.
That is nice. Bell hooks love. Yeah, that's a great kind of love.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's okay. Great. Uh-huh. But yeah, I just I wanted people who are older than me to find me valid. because I felt like I would be more valid if someone who was older and more experienced saw me that way, which isn't that hot.
I mean, that's the misconception about older people, is that they're smarter, wiser, but they're not always.
Not always.
Donald Trump is a 75-year-old man. Okay, he's not that old. But, I mean, he has a lot of life, life experience,
he's
and
he
sucks.
75-year-old pigeon man.
Well, so how do you guys feel about people who are just naturally attracted to younger people?
I mean, it is what it is.
How much younger? That's the first question.
Not pedophilia. We're not or crossing pedophilia. That line. Yeah, specifically. Okay, so when we talk about intergenerational love, I'm not talking about, you know,
anything illegal,
like statutory,
right?
Rape type love.
I feel like whenever you're dealing with people who have different age brackets, it's important to recognize power dynamics, step one. Because if there's someone who's being manipulated or someone who feels like that they're not fully understanding of the situation, that's never okay.
What kinds of manipulation can arise in an intergenerational relationship?
Like, for example, like, even in, like, very systemic situations of, like, if you're living together and the lease is only in one person's name and there's not a full conversation of, like, why that, but, like, oh, like, the lease is in my name because I have better credit and I was going to be approved, but, like, if that person, like, has a fight and it's, like, you have to get out because the lease is in my name, like, that's a situation where power is being used to manipulate.
Yeah, financial abuse, sort of.
I even think it can be emotional manipulation as well, where it's, like, I'm older and I feel this way. You're just really immature and young because you don't understand. You need to change the way that you think.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you gone through that?
I don't know. And which is, like, really scary, honestly, where it's, like, I don't know if that was, like, actually the case of, like, oh, I didn't understand your situation because you were older, or, like, you were on some fuck shit.
Are there any other kinds of both having experienced intergenerational, I always feel like I pronounce that weird, intergenerational relationships. Are there any other kinds of internal problems that you guys have experienced both having been in those?
I was dating someone who was still, like, in contact, like, regular, like, unsafe, not unsafe, but, like, unhealthy contact with their ex-husband.
Was that also the father of their children?
The father of her children. And that was, yeah, I'm like, I want to take a nap.
Sounds like a bag of drama.
Yeah, and it was weird because we were in the same city. Like, we were in Barcelona at the time, and Barcelona is a really small city, and there are small, small boroughs. And, like, she was living in an area where all of her husband's friends all lived. And so, like, I would, like, I'm a really...
Sounds like an indie film. I just want to put that out
there. You know, I'm making it into one, so it's fine. Eventually, it's gonna make its way there. I hope she's okay with that. Actually, who knows? but yeah, it was, like, a really small area, and I remember, like, the first time I tried to kiss her, she was like, whoa, 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 you can't do this. And we were, like, in a cafe. Like, it was, like, really schmexy. Like, the moves were coming on, and it was late at night.
The vibes were going.
It was nice. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to kiss her, and she was like, you can't do that. Like, I have to live here. And I'm like, whoa, like, I look great. Like, have you seen me? I look excellent. What do you mean you live here? Like, so do I. And then, like, I realized, like, oh, it's because, like, if the father of her children finds out that she's, like, dating this 21-year-old, he's going to be in his feelings and, like, cause issues with her and her kids who live with her. And, like, I was not in that frame of mind, but also, like, that wasn't my fault at the same time. So it was just, like, it's, like, a bag of complications, and, like, it's never anyone's fault necessarily, but it's still unfair.
Okay. So that was, like, how it would be viewed from the outside kind of a problem. How about you, Bill?
The problems that I've had haven't been because of our age. It's just been our position in life, which would we would go off of your definition of intergenerational. It's a hard word. Narrational.
IG relationships, not Instagram, the other one.
IG relationships, let's go with that. Okay. Yeah, so with them being in different places in life, just as more mature people. So, you know, the dynamic of, oh, I have to go to this place with my ex-wife or something, and I'm just like, who? Like, you know, so.
Has that happened?
No, because, you know, you have PTA meetings or whatever, or family things where he'd go with his ex-wife and for the child or whatever it is, and it's like, you know, it's just the family, so then it's like, ouch, you know. but it is what it is, and right, like I said, it's just one of those things that I'm willing, because I know this person, and I I completely trust them and I have no doubts about the love that we have. It's like you have to be able to take the good with the bad. So that's definitely something I'm willing to go through to be with that guy. I love him.
I never heard you say that you loved him, but I mean, it's pretty clear, honestly.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. I know, right?
Aw. Okay. Well, so speaking on family interactions, what have you guys' experiences been interacting with your IG lovers' families, whether it be, you know, their, or between also your families, whether it be like your parents, their kids, their ex-wives, their ex-husbands.
I'm glad that we have a diversity of experience in this situation. That makes me really happy. Also, I'm really excited to hear what you have to say.
Oh, yeah. You saw what I wrote. So, first off, his family has been so dope. Like, they are just, they invite me to everything. They're, like, his mom, every time she's leaving, she's like, I love you. And she's just so excited to see me all the time. And then you have my family. We're from Jamaica. My family, not saying that every family in Jamaica is like this. Don't do generalizations. But my family is a little superstitious and they don't like the fact that he likes magic tricks or like magic shows.
Like David Blaine type shit?
Yeah, he likes David Blaine Key and Peele. I was about to say Key and Peele. What's some other magicians that sound like Key and Peele?
I don't know who the hell you're talking about. Siegfried and Roy?
Penn and Teller. It's Penn and Teller. Okay. And a few other magicians. It's just his thing. Like, I don't care. So they're just like, he is evil. He's working dark magic.
And oh, yeah, man. Oh, no.
And I'm like, what? What, people? Let's just talk about this. They're like, nope. Get him out of this house. So I'm like, all right, well.
That's quite funny. Okay. Yeah. But they don't have a problem with how old he is.
Or the fact that he has kids.
So they have a problem with that as well? It's all fucked
First
up.
Off, yeah, it's all. First off, I didn't tell them that he had a kid. They kind of Facebook stalked him. He's like, they're like, did you know this man has two children?
Are you hiding?
I'm like, what? First, I was like, what? And I'm like, no, this is the wrong way to go about this. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I do know that. It's all good. I've known that from the start. Uh-huh. They're like, this is not what we wanted for your life to be like a stepmom or whatever it is. And I'm like, I'm not in that kind of a role. I'm not saying... first off, we're not married, so I'm not anybody's stepmom. And then if we were married, I'm not in that role where they're living with us or, you know, I have to mother them. Or
he doesn't live
him.
With his kids?
No, he doesn't live with. Mm-hmm. So he gets every 2 weeks. And then sometimes we do weekend family stuff and it's all good. It's all cool. I feel like, though, if it was more than a weekend, it'd probably be not great for me.
That's your kid now. Live with it.
All right. Yeah, that's what it is with my family. And they're not super comfortable with his age, but they are happy that he's an established adult, like, you know, has a steady job. And
that's so not fair, because I know. It's hard for young people like millennials to actually establish careers.
I know,
can't expect it all, guys.
That's the standard with parents.
Yeah. But like parents, what? You must be perfect. Like,
exactly, you must have 25 years of experience when you're 25.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my parents have ridiculous standards in general. Mm-hmm. So it's usually like, so he's not going to grad school? Are you sure he's not just a complete bum? Because who doesn't go to grad school?
He's not
going to
be the 46th president of the United States?
I don't...
The fuck?
Dating my daughter?
At 24.
Okay. Yeah, all right. So. How about your familial relationships or familial experiences, Paige?
Well, first, my parents have never met anyone I've ever dated, with the exception of my high school boyfriend who took me to prom.
Okay.
And that was a beard, so... There's that. But as far as my, like, the person I was seeing and her family, I met her kids before we were ever even involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really stressful because I knew, I was like, you're really hot. I want to meet my face with your face. Like, I knew that the whole time. And I'm like,
faces.
And I'm like looking at her two kids like, I'm so sorry. And it was really uncomfortable. I remember the first time we actually kissed, it was like in her apartment and her kids were in the other room, and I'm like, I feel so horrible. What's going on? But did you feel
naughty?
Yeah, I really did. But yeah, I was just like, remember thinking like first of all, I'm in no position to tell anyone how to raise their kids, like, period, full stop. Absolutely none. But I remember thinking, like, is this okay? Like, why is she doing, like, why are we doing this? I feel so, this is unholy. And also, I already mentioned the situation with her ex-husband, because he did find out that I was there. And I remember because he came to pick up the kids, mm-hmm. at a time that wasn't, like, prearranged or whatever, and I was at the place, and then he came and he saw me, and he knew, because, okay. like, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm great. who is this ridiculously attractive young lady who keeps trying to touch you in my presence? Like, why? I was so dumb. I don't know why I was trying to do it. Anyway, so, like, he saw me, and it was the most stale-faced, uncomfortable, like, handshakings of my entire life, because he's looking at me like this harlot is around my children. Like, I'm, in retrospect.
Why do you think he was looking at you like that? Because you were dating his ex-wife?
I think it was a lot of things. It was like, I'm younger, I'm in front of his kids, I'm also a woman, so he, like, it's like that weird situation where, like,
everything,
all of that. And, like, I also think he was still in love with his ex-wife. So, like, all of those things. And I'm sitting there like,
yeah, I'm fucking your ex-wife, bro. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that was interesting.
So, Paige, you had said that you'd mentioned previously off the podcast that it was awkward for you because when you were with her children, you felt like the nanny, which was weird because you have been a nanny. Were you their nanny?
No.
Okay, just... Just establishing that.
For clarification, I was not their nanny. But that would be hilarious. And I would
That's a great indie film.
I would love it. I would love it. No, by the way, I was not their nanny. No, I've been a nanny separately. I've been a nanny in New York. Mm-hmm. And I was a nanny back in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not their nanny. But I did feel really uncomfortable because they were like half my, like a little less than half my age.
Yeah.
They were like fully functioning, like humans that had their own thoughts and opinions. Yeah. Like, that's how old they were.
Okay.
And I was like sitting there, I could have full conversations, like, with ideas that I hadn't thought of. Like, that's how, like, they were just really smart.
They were
kids.
Woke as fuck.
They were woke as fuck. And, like, they definitely know I was fucking their mom. And I was just like,
yikes.
And I was just, and that, but, like, situation. They're looking at me and they're like, you're mad young. Like, you're tall as fuck, but, like, you're definitely, like, a child. Like, 100. And I know my mom is not a child. So, like, it was just weird.
Did that ever come to a head at some point? Or was it just, like, the elephant in the room always?
It was the elephant in the room.
This 21-year-old's banging my mom.
Yeah, it was the elephant in the room. And, like, when we ended things, thank God. When we ended things, it was, like, even that wasn't even in person. It was, like, this isn't gonna work.
Damn. How long was this relationship?
It was one of those, like, you don't even know when it started.
Gotcha.
Sort of thing. So I can't honestly tell you.
Okay, gotcha.
Like, the majority of my relationships have been that way.
The quasi-relationships.
Yeah, where it's like, if you fuck someone else, I'll be pissed. But, like, technically it's okay.
It's not cheating, yeah. Gotcha. I don't know if you guys were interested in touching on the power dynamics of an IG relationship. I know you spoke on it a little bit before, but, like, what sort of things can break down?
Well, what I don't like about... Well, you have that power dynamic between... the older person and the younger person, but I'm more the male and the female for me, is that I do get a little bit of that masculine fragility, mm-hmm. when, you know, when there's time, it's time to pay for things or whatever it may be, because I tend to make more money than whoever I'm with.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's kind of like,
we got a baller in here.
I don't mean to make it sound like that.
I once described Belle as my rich friend. I don't remember doing that because I was too drunk,
but we are throwing $100 bills.
No, but it's just, it is what it is. And it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to pay for this thing. And then it's like, oh, let me hold the card so then it looks like I'm paying for
that
it. And
has
I'm
happened?
Like, that has happened with my last boyfriend, not this one.
Whoa.
So it was like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Let me feed your ego.
Your male ego.
It is.
Yeah.
Just, it's just like, I'm just like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just annoying. Like, just be comfortable with yourself. It's okay.
I'm trying to get pampered out here, man or woman. Shit. True. You could pay for you everything
pay,
I do,
you
though.
You want to pay for my food? I'll let you hold the card.
Nah.
Okay. How about you, Paige, in terms of power dynamics?
I think any time I've been in a situation where I felt like the power dynamics were skewed, it was emotional manipulation.
Yeah.
Where it's like my feelings were invalid because I was younger, mm-hmm. or my feelings were invalid because I was less experienced, mm-hmm. or like, quote, didn't get it. And without the attempt to even try to explain what I didn't get, it was just like, full stop, you don't get it, you never will. And that was just it. It was fresh. It's always frustrating when people like sell me short or like don't recognize that I'm an intelligent human being. But it hurts even more when it's someone that you're like holding that very vulnerable position. It's like even a friend or a lover or a partner, like for them to say that you're too dumb to get something is like, it's hurtful.
Yeah. You can't literally be too dumb to get what something that's making you feel bad because you are like in dominance of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So fuck that shit. So any advice in terms of power dynamics navigation for people who are in intergenerational relationships or are thinking of entering into one that you guys would suggest?
My general thought on anything is, in a relationship, you need to have open communication, always express your feelings, which for me has been working out sometimes and not all the time, but always be open about your feelings and be like, I think this is what's happening and I'm not comfortable when this happens, for example, XYZ.
That's really good advice.
I completely agree. I was gonna say communication, and no matter how small it is, even if it's like you know, when we were getting pizza, you looked at me a certain way when the waiter came by, and I didn't really like it. What the fuck was that? Like, even if it's something that's that small, mm-hmm. because those things can escalate.
Yeah, and it's going to pick at you.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then you're going to blow up at them, like, 2 weeks later, and like, I told you to get the fucking cheese pizza! And they're like, whoa.
Paige, can you get out of my head? What's your issue with pizza?
Whoa.
Triggered. No. So before, you were talking about, people like denying your maturity or denying what you were feeling was valid. Do you guys feel like there actually is a difference between mental maturity in younger and older people at all?
I think it's experience driven, not age driven. Because I know some people who are 14-year-olds who are more mature than I am.
I think all 14-year-olds are more mature than me. Yeah. Most people.
I think it's just a case by case. Different people react differently to different things, no matter what their age is. And that's not, I don't think that's going to be something that changes with just saying, okay, older people are going to be generally more mature or whatever it is.
Okay. Paige, you mentioned in the document that you have strong feelings about the idea of girls being more mature.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so how many brothers do I have? I have 4 brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only...
Who are those niggas I'm related to again?
Yeah, I have 4 brothers, and I'm the only girl. And regularly, within my family, whether it's my immediate family or even my external tribe, like, I feel like I am held to a higher standard or higher expectation when it comes to not only maturity, but also drive and determination, or even just like success in like the capitalistic way. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's like, I feel like I, like, to an extent, like, I've put that on myself because I felt like it was there, but just like, I have to get things done. I always have to get things done, because if I don't, there is no fallback. And mm-hmm. I don't feel like my brothers are held to that same pressure or to that same standard.
Isn't that so funny? Because we expect men to rule the world, but don't expect much.
But behind
out of
every
them.
Strong woman, Sam. I mean, behind every strong man.
That's some fuck shit. So, I don't know. Do you guys generally feel like going out into the world as intergenerational couples that you have been deemed acceptable or unacceptable by the public eye at all?
I think unacceptable in general, but wow. I'd have to try to date a black person who's much older than me for me to answer that question correctly. Because I think mostly the side eyes that I get is because my last two relationships that were intergenerational. You know what? IG.
Sorry.
I give up.
We should do a hashtag IG and change like the
change
internet
Instagram.
Right? Were interracial as well. So my current boyfriend's Spanish, he's from Peru, and my last boyfriend was white from Long Island. Okay. So the side eyes were like this black
so
girl.
Exotic.
I know, right?
Island of Long Island.
Yeah, so the side eyes have mostly been, I think, because of the race difference. And then also my boyfriend now is I think 3 inches shorter than me. So then it's like, what? I think that's the look really that confused. People give me, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Just like so many things that don't fall in line with what I think should be right.
Right. Exactly.
Are happening.
How about you, Paige?
Especially
adding to, you know, the fact that you were in Spain, you know?
Also mostly in Spain. American, it was also interracial. And we were also women, which I know like it's Europe or whatever, but like it's still it's like still Spain. Still like mad Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really weird. Lots of people staring, like, but also we weren't really doing PDA too much. But people are also just very confused, like, why is this, like...
Young like, black women can't hang out with older white women.
Well, she wasn't white, actually. She was Daisy. So we were just two brown women of different ages. Huh. Like, they're just like, why are you literally together? Like, first, why are you in my country? Second,
first of all, get the fuck out.
Then after first. That, evaluate your life.
First of all, you're both terrorists. Get out.
First of all. And like, also, why are you together? Also, does
don't
she
kiss
have,
each other and bomber buildings.
Like, do you have kids too? You're procreating? Like, who are.
What's going on?
It was just a lot going on. And like also on top of her like ex-husband stuff. I don't know why. Like I don't even like drama like that. I swear. Like I really don't, but like that was an event of my life.
It's got to be so exhausting just hating everything, walking around, looking at couples like look at that thing that has nothing to do with me. I hate it. I'm upset.
Okay, so that was kind of like my overall question. I was going to say, do you guys feel like certain intergenerational couples are more acceptable than others?
I'd say same race, IG relationships would be more acceptable because there's just one thing to hate, the age.
Exactly. Not piling it on.
But then there's the like, are you my daughter? Like that sort of thing that comes up. That's awkward.
Uh-huh.
But like, I do agree that I don't think it's hated on. I think people are just confused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you guys were like totally gawked at?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was gawked at walking alone in Spain. They were like, oh, you're a prostitute. Ooh.
Can I have your contact?
You're walking in the daylight, though. Okay. Is this what you do during the day? It's what prostitutes do during the day. You go grocery shopping? Ooh.
Okay. Anything else to add about intergenerational loving?
Love is love.
That's a good tagline. How about you, Bill?
I made it up myself.
Why thank you.
Any kind, yeah, going off of love is love, mind your business. if I'm with my older guy, it has nothing to do with you. Don't look at me. All right, go about your way.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's a consenting relationship.
Major key, mind your business.
Yeah,
facts. Mind your business. #2017. Okay. To end this segment, we'll talk about Paige's film, which is a story of intergenerational love.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually directing and producing a film of my own titled Beautiful Things.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows a young musician who's catching feelings for a woman who also happens to be a mother. So it looks at the particularities of dating when you have children, the sorting of priorities, and also looking at power dynamics and control when you're in a romantic relationship with someone who has completely different experiences as you. So yeah, it's gonna be lit. If you want to follow more information,
mm-hmm.
it's on the Instagram and on the Facebook at BT The Film.
I love it. Yeah. Sounds juicy, sexy, important,
mm-hmm.
diverse.
Mm-hmm.
All these good things. Yeah, no, definitely support Paige's film. So let's move on to Fuck Me.
Fuck Me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives. And the running trend of this season is that I don't talk about my dating life. And when I finally pick a coho, I'll open up.
Mm.
But for now, you guys, go with forward. Whoever wants to take it first.
All right. So my situation with my boyfriend right now is
the Obiaman.
Yes.
David Blaine himself.
Exactly. is
dating
that
dating David Blaine.
One thing I didn't even no. one detail I didn't even add was that this whole drama happened the day after Thanksgiving.
Oh, and perfect. That's a perfect time for
right. Family drama on a holiday. Awesome. Mm-mm. So I feel like because of that I've had to kind of choose between my boyfriend and my family. And it's really hard for me because obviously I want to choose my family. I love my family no matter what. And but because of the nature of the issue where it's just so odd and ridiculous to me, I'm kind of like on his side where I'm like, guys, can you like, can we just get back to earth real quick and reevaluate the situation? But they're not having it. And he's obviously so offended that they'd want to kick him out or you know, say these things about him. So then I'm just kind of caught in the middle, like, what is going on? And I feel like right now I haven't had the same relationship with my parents as I had before, where I'd talk to them every day and so a lot of laughing. It's a little more, it feels a little more formal and weird now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like the only way to get back to that closeness that we had that I enjoyed would be to like break up with my boyfriend. And I'm just like, has anyone ever been in some kind of a weird choosy situation like that? Or what would you do in some kind of a situation like that? Of course, your family comes first, but it's also just so irrational, you know?
Yeah. So they're dead ass not fucking with him because he likes magic tricks?
I know how it sounds.
It's funny you simplify it to that. It's like, wow, the superstition like runs deep.
Yo, it's... Anyways, yeah, so that's my issue right now.
And that's been happening since Thanksgiving, so a couple months now. And you really don't think there's any resolve other than...
There's been no resolve, none. Like, they won't come up here knowing that we're more than likely living together. Mm-hmm. So we are going to move in together, and it's like...
Oh, congrats.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's like they don't want to have to deal with him.
Have you considered... teaching them
magic tricks?
It sound engineer judging you.
Not teaching the magic tricks, but just being like, hey guys,
listen,
I know Obia runs deep, but so this is actually nothing.
So very specifically what happened is he was watching David Blaine on Netflix. Damn it, David Blaine.
It's like, why was he even watching that? I actually hate David Blaine, not because he's a magician. I just think he's a tool. I think he's a douchebag.
I don't even think that's magic. It's just kind of weird body stuff.
Yeah, he does stunts.
Yeah, stunts, exactly. And then we had gone to a magic show with Penn and Teller.
Okay.
Yeah, and he had three cards in his back pocket from Penn and Teller, and then he took them out. He's like, haha, we still have these. Like, these are the same pants I'm wearing. And they're like, oh, three cards? Watch out for the man with the three cards. This is basic Jamaican. You should know this. And I'm just kind of like, bruh.
Is that a folktale? Yeah, man with the three cards? Is he related to watch out.
I think it's more of, you know, the tricksters on the street that do
that. Oh, got you. Yeah.
So you got to watch out for the man with the three cards.
Yeah.
And it's like, they just took it to the next level. Ugh. And my grandmother was even like, I don't know why.
Have they had dreams about him? You know, the Jamaican dream where it's like, don't.
No, they haven't. So it's like, at least, you know, if it was
that's
a dream,
how you know it's real. The dreams haven't happened. If so, you gotta break up with him.
Exactly. You know, if there was a dream, because, you know, when bad things happen in dreams, I do tend to call people like, listen, I had this dream. Make sure you don't cross the road there today. Yeah. You know, so that didn't happen. Even that superstition, I'd be more willing to buy into than the nothing that they presented me with. Wow. So I'm just in a difficult situation right now with that. Because I love my parents and I miss being super close with them and talking to them and them complaining about me not calling them.
Aww.
So, yeah, that's where it is. That's what it is. What would you guys do? What do you think I should do?
I would try to teach them.
Magic trick.
Exactly. I'd buy a Criss Angel box set and no.
Yeah.
I would just be like, you know, here are some things about your beliefs and here are some things about the world and stuff like that and see where reality. That goes from them. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bill.
I know.
Paige, would you?
I said my piece.
Teach them magic tricks and they'll be like, oh, that's really cool. I made that card disappear.
They'll be like, sorcerer.
Okay, Paige, how about your fuck me?
LOL. Okay, so like preface. I am dating someone who is incredibly loving and I love her. She's mm-hmm. so great. But I get panic attacks sometimes because, mm-hmm. you know, anxiety and like
Happens to the best of us, man.
You know, it happens. And I'd also never been in a situation like this before at all. So my brain and body decided to collaborate and fuck me over simultaneously. Yeah, so I was going to an event with my girlfriend, and we were about to go into the elevator to go to the actual event. And the ding happens and the elevator opens. And one person who I fucked on my roof and the other person who I tried to fuck on my roof...
Damn.
Wait, are you fucking your whole apartment building? Like, what's going on?
No. These people did not live in my apartment building. These are two separate people.
Wow.
And their friends.
Huh.
We're in the elevator going to the same event, and then they turn their heads together and look at me, and I'm standing with my girlfriend, and I'm looking at her, and then I look at them, and then I look at her again, and I'm like, hi. Hi. And I forgot everyone's name.
Oh, damn.
Every single person, the roof fucker,
including your girlfriend,
including my girlfriend. And
just
I'm like,
your name.
And I was like, this is, and we left the event, needless to say, because so I could have a breakdown in front of NYU.
Okay.
And I was just like, I am so sorry, I forgot your name. She's like, yeah, you fucking did that. And I'm like, she's still great though.
That's good. Everything's cleared up since
Everything's fine now.
That was a rough spot to be in.
That was a patch.
Yeah. I've never been with three people I fucked at once or tried to.
That
once.
Happened in college.
Okay, super, that makes sense.
I was a super duper hoe in college. In my life.
Super hoe. Huh?
Super hoe.
Love that. All right. Well, thank you guys. If you guys at home listening would like to contribute to Belle's plight or have a similar panic attack, fuck everybody, forget everybody's name all at once experience the page, you can write into ihupodcast@gmail.com. Ready to move on to fuck you, you guys? Say yes.
Yes.
Sorry, yes.
Whenever you say that, I'm just like, don't.
I'm just like looking at you in your eyes like, where's the affirmation? Where is it? Fuck you. Thanks, guys. This is a segment where we read listener letters and we talk about you guys at home's romance, sex lives, your hotels, all that stuff. So I don't know if you guys want to read this or I can read it if you want.
I can read it.
Sure. Go for it.
Hi, Sam and the co-hosts of the week.
Hey.
First of all, I love the podcast and I'm so glad to see you bitches shining. Yes. Keep it up. Second, I'm writing to you for some advice on how to choose a third. By third, I mean a woman who would join me and my husband for an evening of sexual freedom and experimentation. I consider myself straight for the most part, but I do find women attractive and have had one experience with a woman a long time ago before I got married. I mentioned my interest in having a threesome to my husband, and while it took some time for him to get used to the idea, he's very stingy with me and my bomb-ass pussy. Okay.
Love it.
Oh, that was really fun.
He's totally on board now. The problem is we don't want to just do it to anyone or with anyone.
Yeah, I think with them, yeah. In that situation.
Just pouncing on people. I'd like to have some sort of rapport with this woman to the point that we can have good conversation, some drinks, put some ganja in the air, and then get down to business after we've discussed expectations and gotten a clean bill of health. We've toyed with the idea of hiring a professional, but I don't like the idea of paying for sex or that this person would just be doing this for work and not because they find us interesting or sexy or whatever. To make a long story short, we are picky, but with good reason. We have children and are heavily invested in our marriage, and this threesome is a way for us to deepen our relationship while injecting some new fun into it. Any suggestions on how we could go about finding someone to help us do that? Thanks so much. Love your show. Sincerely yours, WMD.
Love it. Thank you, WMD, Weapon of Mass Destruction. What do you guys think?
I mean, it sounds like a good plan. It sounds like a girlfriend for both of you, and that sounds like something you could get from online dating. I know I've seen couples looking for women on SoulSwipe and Tinder for when I was on SoulSwipe and Tinder. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's one avenue you could explore.
Mm-hmm. What they were looking for is a unicorn, I think people call
yeah,
it.
I've seen that. I've seen, like, on Tinder, like, people, like, actually have the unicorn emoji.
Wow, huh, there you go.
They're just so you know, like, this is my tag.
Unicorn being a single woman who's looking to play with a couple. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how open people are to that on Tinder and SoulSwipe. I also know that OkCupid has like a polyamory-ish option going on there, but I think there are some definite like third situation dating apps going on.
Yeah, I think the internet's your best bet for this. I don't think you can like make a sign.
Hey, we're looking for a third. T-shirts.
Yeah. Question mark? Could be you. Question mark?
What was your input that you had had?
I would say this sounds dope. Good for you. But I would also add, it's super important that the third is a stranger. This is just like me put from the peanut gallery. Well, you know what? You wrote in. You were literally asking for my opinion. Yeah. So like, this is my opinion. Like the third, in my opinion, should be a stranger that you have no intention of ever getting in contact with ever again. Especially since you say this is like a committed married relationship and you have children, like down to play, but also like you live your life after this. There are taxes involved. Like
I can see the problems with that because, you know, if you invite this person in a intimate way, then that could, you know, lead to distrust, like if they're there without you with your, you know, man or woman. So yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Next thing you know, she's sitting on your couch eating your popcorn, like, hey girl. Kids.
Exactly. Especially if you don't have a precedent for polyamory in your relationship and you're just gonna drop this one in, like drop it like it's hot. There, I did it. That was an example of did, me actually yes. doing
Thank
the
you
song.
For a musical reference.
You're welcome. dropping that person in, and then I think communication is gonna have to be 100% yes between you and this third woman, but 100% between you and your husband.
Yeah.
Because there's so many cracks where doubt and self-doubt and confusion can seep in this situation. Yep. And it's best to just like, boop.
Mm-hmm. Even in, not even regards to the aftercare, but like even in regards to the actual sex itself, it's like, if you're going to have a problem with him fucking her from the back for 45 minutes and only you for 10, make that known. Because you might hate him for the rest of your life after that.
Sam,
shit.
That reminds me of our mutual friend who had a threesome.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah, and it didn't work out well.
Did not work out well. It was that, you know, I think it was the guy's friend that he knew well, and then was already kind of
your friend.
You're so bad at this.
the way you pronounce your name.
Okay. And then she was, you know, she was semi-dating this guy and had actual feelings for him. And it just turned out that he started going for that girl. And during the threesome, he was more involved with that girl. So, I mean, with, you know, inviting intimacy into that third person might cause that kind of conflict and blow up.
It can end up being a shit show. Communication is key.
True. I want to expand on what you're saying about Sam, about like rules.
Okay.
Between like these like two married people, like you were saying, like if you're gonna have a problem with like going like pounding from behind for 45 minutes, but like even like smaller things, like if it's like you don't kiss that bitch, or I'll cut you.
Yeah.
Like,
no, that's important too. The like, level that's, of
that's
intimacy
just for me. Like absolutely, and like 100%. Don't be afraid to say like I'm gonna feel petty. I will feel a way, multiple ways.
Yeah.
If you touch her boob and you don't touch mine first.
Yeah, exactly. And don't feel petty about that. You know, like these are things that are actually going to bother you and that will be on your conscience forever. So like go through the scenario in your head, masturbate to it, whatever, live out that threesome in your head, and then bring up everything that's where you're like, oh no, no, I don't like that.
Threesomes can get complicated. What if he nuts and you didn't even
if it's not to you something? What if he nuts first and it's not to you? Seriously,
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Okay, Sam, you should be their third.
Hit me up at ihatepodcast@gmail.com. So we're going to end the show. Thank you guys for coming. So awesome. I'm so glad that you guys have like really like shared experiences like in tech and in the intergenerational love. And, like, I didn't even know that was going to happen. That was cool.
Happy surprise.
Yes.
Good job.
Do you guys want to shout out your social mediums?
Media.
Go ahead.
At Paige Polk, PAIGEPOLK on the Instagram, and Bay Premium.
That is a great name.
Thank you. It's on Twitter, BAE Premium.
Yes.
I don't really do social media that much.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Snapchat every 7 months.
Pretty much. And then my Instagram's got like, what, 7 pictures? I'm not even going to bother. Don't even.
Okay. If you have anything to personally say to Belle, you can send that to ihupodcast@gmail.com. My personal social media is, I am SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter, and InnerHo Uprising on Instagram, InnerHo Uprising on Twitter, InnerHo Uprising on Facebook, and InnerHo Uprising.com. So, oh, you can shout out your website too, Paige.
Oh yeah, my website is www.pagepolk.com.
Thank you. Thank you for saying it like that too. This is the search for a new co-host. So while I loved you ladies,
yeah,
gotta keep looking. I gotta see what's out there.
I hear you.
So if you guys would like
find
to...
find your unicorn.
Thank you. If you guys would like to be my unicorn, you can send in your request to ihupodcast@gmail.com. I've gotten 2 requests from people from California when I specifically said, no bitches from California. That is the exact quote. I was just kidding, but you gotta be in the tri-state area. I'm sorry, ladies. And you can be a guy, too. You can be any person. You can be an agender person. Like, just let me know, but you gotta live here because I need you in studio. I gotta look at you in your eyes. Please rate us on iTunes, Inner Hoe Uprising, and we're gonna leave you with a little something sexy from both of you ladies.
Oh, word.
Never forget to eat the box.
Yes.
It's the first rule.
Give your titties a kind squeeze today.
What if my titties hurt? Like, okay. They do specifically hurt
today. Or just,
today.
Like, pat them with love, with okay. Bell hooks love.
Pat your titties with bell hooks love. Okay. Thanks, guys.